I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, roamingoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, firstly, I'm at Deepwater.
Right, and where is Deepwater?
Deepwater is about 40 kilometres north of Glen Innes on the Northern Tablelands.
Nice.
Only a
nice
very
spot.
Tiny little town, beautiful place. And I chat with Kathy there from the Longhorn Hotel.
Oh, okay, very good. And then next up, you're going to be talking to Jim Byrne, and now he's a volunteer at the Tenterfield Saddlery.
Absolutely brilliant guy. Opened the saddlery especially for us, which was great.
Yes.
Private tour.
Yes, so much to see in there.
Absolutely, and a wealth of information now, Jim. Then straight after that, I'm at the Monday Bash, and I'm chatting with Kathy Graham from Kathy Graham's Pottery.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Very interesting the way she does her pottery.
Yeah, and next up, we're talking to Jeff Diaz,
yes.
And the subject this week is, should I tow with my water tanks full?
Well, that's right. This came in a lot earlier in the year. This was actually an email from one of our listeners, and because I think it's such an important subject, we thought, because Jeff's still on holidays, that we would include this one again.
Very good. It is an important subject.
It is indeed. Now, apart from all these fabulous discussions, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you reckon? On with the show. Hello, listeners. Phil C here, and we're at Deepwater, which is about halfway between Glen Innes and Tenterfield at the Longhorn Hotel. And we are chatting today with Angela. How are you today, my dear?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, tell us all about this great iconic hotel, Angela.
Well, it has a lot of history. It's about over 150 years old.
Right.
It's got the old lock-up cells back in Common Cay Day.
Right.
And it's got about 11 rooms for accommodation.
Fantastic.
Free camping, except for the powered sites, they're okay. About $15 a night.
Okay, so how many powered sites do you have for caravanners?
I think there's about five up there,
okay.
Maybe more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got about five powered sites approximately. It's a very large area. If you didn't need power and you had a caravan or a camper trailer, you can still stay for free as long as you don't use power.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic. Yep. And it's such a big area, so if you've only got six powered sites, you'd have four or five times that for camping sites.
That's easily. Right, yep.
Easily.
Yep.
So that's great. Now, if they want to stay for free, are they only allowed to stay a day? Can they stay a couple of days? How does it work?
Yeah, they can stay a couple of days.
Okay.
They want to, yeah.
Okay. Because it's a good location. It's right in the middle of Tenterfield and Glen Innes.
Yep.
So it's a great place to come and visit, listeners. Now, I understand you're really, really famous for some of the cooking that you do, because you're in charge of the kitchen, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about some of the great food you serve here.
The pizzas are the winners.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone seems to like them a lot.
Okay.
And the Boomer Burger.
A Boomer Burger.
Try it if you dare.
Okay, so try it if you dare. That's a bit of a challenge, I've got to tell
it
you.
Is.
There's a lot of listeners that like challenges. What is a Boomer Burger?
Well, it's doubled up on everything. So you've got your lettuce, tomato, cheese, beetroot. Then you've got meat patty, cheese again, bacon, meat patty, cheese and bacon, steak, mushroom, onion jam, and a special sauce goes on the top.
Okay, so look, I've got to tell you, I'm trying to picture this in my mind. This burger would stand about, what, 6-8 inches from the plate to the top, do you think?
It's pretty tall.
It's a pretty tall
two
sort
people,
of burger.
Yeah, two people could eat it.
It's
together.
A real two people thing, isn't it?
Do
you ever get cowboys coming here? Because I know you've got a cowboy burger and you've got the dude burger. So do you ever get any locals coming here and go, oh, I'll take on that challenge?
Yes, we do, and they don't seem to follow through.
So they don't manage to get through it. It's definitely a two-person burger.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Now, what about these pizzas? Because I understand they're award-winning.
Yes. So they say,
She's a little
bit
modest.
They want me recipes?
Well, you can tell us what's on a few of them if you like. What are the most popular ones?
There's the Mexican one.
Okay.
Which is like a meat lover mix that I make up myself. And it's got special Mexican herbs on it.
Uh-huh.
And then I top it with the cheese, and then I put the sour cream, salsa, and jalapenos around it.
Okay.
And corn chips.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's popular.
Oh, my goodness. We had pizza yesterday, and it was delicious. That was at another place.
Yep.
I think we might try a pizza here for lunch. What do you think, Lynn? Yeah. Okay. So how long have you been here? Like, you're the new licensees, I understand, of this particular. So how long have you been here so far?
About 8 months. This month we've been here.
Okay. And so, where did you come from?
South Coast.
South Coast. Yes. So why from the South Coast? Because this is almost like being out in the bush, really, isn't it? Even though you're so close to Glen Innes and Tenterfield, it's nothing like the coast.
Yeah.
What made you want to change?
Well, we just thought we'd try something different.
Okay.
Yeah. And take the risk and...
Yeah. I mean, you've took on a big lease, so you're going to be here for quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what else goes on? Because we had a look in the hotel. We noticed you've got a stage area there, so you have entertainment for the guests as well?
Yeah, we do bands. We're going to look at having them every Saturday night.
Okay.
So we're looking into doing that soon.
Right.
And today we've got the Yubby races.
That's right.
Yeah, and two up and...
Fantastic, because we're recording this, listeners, on Anzac Day. So you got Yabby Races, two up. You got Big Bill. Now, apparently Big Bill's a bit of a Rodney Rood type or a Kevin Bloody Wilson entertainer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he a local character here, Big Bill?
Emmerville is from, yeah.
Emmerville, okay, so that's not far from here either.
Yeah.
And he's a regular here. He's a regular entertainer.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic stuff. Look, I think I think you got a wonderful amount of potential here with this great hotel. You're also pet friendly.
Yes.
Which is a big plus because a lot of travellers like to bring their pets. Are there any rules with the pets? Or they just have to be on a lead?
Yeah. When they're around them. Like, they do come into the bar and things.
They can come into the bar?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great.
See, that's a first, because normally the pet-friendly places, they have to be on a lead, they have to be outside.
Yeah, for medical, people have them for medical reasons, they need their pet.
Yep.
Something on them lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're, even
they're
if
allowed
you're,
to come in. So,
okay. Yep. So even if you just love your little fur baby and you don't want to leave them outside, fantastic.
Yeah, we
listeners.
Allow that.
Can you imagine, listeners, being able to bring your fur baby right into the pub? Now, you've got a couple of fires in here too for the colder weather?
Yes, we've got the fireplace there in the bar, and we also got the fire pit out the back.
The back,
which is always on every night in the winter.
And there's a bar out the back too, is that
right? Yeah, an outdoor bar, yes.
Fantastic. Yep. I mean, I can't imagine what more you'd need, folks. Like, you've got great cooking, you've got entertainment... You've got free camping for a couple of nights if you're not using power.
Yep.
And if you want to actually just pass through with the car, you've got some rooms as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Two of the rooms are actually en-suited.
En-suited, yeah.
The rest are just the rooms, but you've got the toilets on the block here at the back.
Okay.
And showers and a washing machine and all that sort of stuff.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
And your power sites are only $15 a night, which is, I think, very cheap.
Yeah.
And you haven't got to go anywhere. Once you're here, you're set up, you've got your power, you've got your shower, you've got your toilet, wander in, have a cold beer, and on a Saturday night be entertained.
Yeah, that's right.
So what more could a traveller hope for? And in such an iconic building, it's been here for about 150 years. Listen, I'm going to have to wind this up now. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Do you have a favourite Australian band or singer, Angela?
Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn. All righty. And what about a favourite song?
Neon Moon.
Neon Moon. All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, Angela. It's been a pleasure for us. And we're going to try one of your award-winning pizzas very shortly.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. Well, there you go, listeners. Now, you stick around for Brooks and Dunn's Neon Moon. And straight after that, we're going to be back with more Roman Oz.
The sun goes down on my side of town. That lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns blue. There's a rundown bar across the railroad track. I got a table for two way in the back where I sit alone. Think of losing you. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon. Now if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely to watch your broken dreams dancing in out of the beams of a neon. I think of two young lovers
running wild and free. I close my eyes and sometimes see you in the shadows of this smoke-filled room. No telling how many tears I've sat here and cried, or how many lies that I've lied, telling my poor heart she'll come back someday. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, if you lose your one and only, there's always room. Sad songs seem to say what I think, and it's hurt inside of me. Ain't never gonna end. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, if you lose your one and only, there's always room.
Oh, well, hello, listeners. This is Phil C, and the program you've tuned into is called Roaming Oz, where we take you on location to the various different places we've travelled to. Now, we're currently in Tenterfield, and we are at the Tenterfield Saddler with Mr. Jim Byrne. How are you today, Jim?
Well, I'm good today, Phil. How are you?
Mate, I'm having an absolute ball, and it is such a pleasure for me to be back in Tenterfield. I love the Tenterfield Saddler. Now, for
it's
the
a
benefit...
great place to have a ball.
Yeah, it's a fantastic little building you've got there with so much memorabilia and stuff. For the benefit of our listeners, tell us a little bit about the Saddler. How long has it been there?
Okay, well, now, the Saddler building was first... opened, I suppose, in 1870.
Okay.
So that makes it just over 150 years old.
Okay.
It was originally built to be a saddler.
Mm-hmm.
The big thick stone walls, all the rocks were quarried from areas around the Tenterfield district,
mm-hmm.
and carried into town on a horse and dray and erected that way.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much as you see the Tenterfield Saddler today is what it looked like when it was first opened in 1870.
Wow. Okay.
But, you know, we've added electricity, of course, to keep up with the times, but the main part of the building is as it was when it was first built.
Wow. And it's totally run by volunteers, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. The last working saddler was there in up until about 1980 or the early 1980s anyhow.
Okay.
And then it sat idle for some time until the family that owns it now decided that they'd wanted to branch into something different. So
okay.
It was then sort of opened, and the new owner, he basically used it to, he had other businesses, of course, but it was a good brand name for him to operate from.
Okay.
And he fell in love with the place, and it stayed the way it was. He never changed anything about the saddler itself, except we could sell a few more things that were, you know, basically all Australian-made leather goods.
Fair enough. So the person who bought it, he's not actually related in any way to George Warno. It's not a family member, it's just somebody who wanted to buy the saddler.
Yeah, he saw it as a business opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've spoken to him quite a number of times, and he said that he had plans for it, but when he saw how unique it was, he thought, I'm not going to change this place at all.
No. And it is. Yeah. I love the word you use there, Jim. It is actually, like, to say unique, it is unique within itself, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So,
and we're very fortunate here in Tenterfield to have something that the world knows about,
mm-hmm.
especially through the song from Peter Allen.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we'll get on to that in a moment, because there's two rooms to the building, correct? Like, you walk in the front door and you're sort of in the foyer, which is room number one, yeah. where you do your donation and so on and so forth. So for our listeners, what have you got in that first room?
Okay, well, as you walk into the door, you'll see the service counter where our volunteers sit, and a lot of the time I sit there and just tell stories, whatever people ask a question about.
Okay.
I'll tell stories. But within the room we have historic photos. There's a lot of memorabilia from the Tenterfield area.
Yes.
There's different things from, you know, bygone days. The number of telephones there that were used through the early 1900s and right through until, you know, we come up with our new smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's a lot of stuff on display. Like, we sell belts and whips and other sort of, what would I say, country-style gear.
Yes.
That's very unique. It's all branded with the Tenterfield saddler, so it really is a very good thing, and good quality stuff as well.
Yeah. So you can buy yourself...
And then you move on.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you can move on from the front room into the back room.
Okay.
And in the back room we have, again, there's more paperwork on the walls that tell stories of the saddler himself, a lot of photos of the saddler and Peter Allen, who basically put the place on the map again.
Absolutely.
There's some music on the walls that were the original score that Peter Allen wrote himself.
Okay. And that's for I Still Call Australia Home, I believe. Is that correct?
That's the one, yes. That's there. We have the work benches that George Woolno, who was the Tenterfield saddler, the benches that he actually did his work on, and a couple of sewing machines.
Yes.
So, like I say, it's pretty much in period, and a lot of people just stand there and soak up the atmosphere and smell the leather.
And not only smell the leather, but you can sort of see it up close and personal, can't you? Because he's got a couple of saddles there as well, doesn't he?
There are a few saddles, yeah. There's a couple that, there were two saddlers in Tenterfield, and they both worked in tandem.
Okay.
So the saddles that are there were actually made in Tenterfield, and George Woolno put his personal stamp on them, and there's one of them there for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a light horse saddle there that was made for the light horse way back in the early 1900s as well.
Okay, fantastic stuff. So apart from all of this this leather stuff, and you've also got the original score to I Still Call Australia Home, I guess the most recognised thing, like you said, that put Peter Allen put the saddler on the map, is that other fantastic song he wrote, which of course is called Tannenfeld Saddler, isn't it? Which is all about his uncle. Do you want to tell us a little bit about...
Yeah, well, it was about his grandfather, actually.
Oh, his grandfather, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, George Woolno was Peter's grandfather.
Uh-huh.
Peter was born in Tenterfield, but only for a few months he lived there, and then the family relocated to Armidale.
Right.
And then there was, you know, sort of Peter regularly came up to visit his grandfather, and he developed a strong relationship with his grandfather, George.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that you know, he decided to put pen to paper, and we come up with this beautiful ballad about Peter himself,
yes,
his father, and yep, his grandfather. Okay. There's a verse that's dedicated to each one.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we benefit in Tenerfield because of it.
Yes, absolutely. It's a brilliant song. It's absolutely I love Peter's music, I must confess, but there's something about that Tenerfield Saddler, and I'm not just saying it because we're talking about the Tenerfield Saddler,
yeah, yeah,
but that actual song is definitely my most favourite of Peter Allen's songs. I mean, most people would say I still call Australia home. I mean, it's a great song, but there's just something about Tenerfield Saddler. Every time I hear it, it just gets a lump in my throat.
And you do have to stop and listen to it.
Yes,
and,
you do.
And then you sort of soak in the atmosphere of actually being there.
Yes, you can. I mean, I know the words. Like late George Warno lived on High Street and lived on Manners, so he was very proud. And tell us a little bit about George. What you know of George?
Yeah, well, George, he was a saddler first and foremost, but he was quite an important man around the town, in that he wanted to include the youngsters of the town in most of what happened.
Okay.
So George, he looked after the local scout movement.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a gymnasium.
Yes.
That was situated in one of the buildings in town. So all the young kids from town, they learned how to box, they learned how to swim, they learned how to keep themselves fit and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a real connection to the town, and it was just something that people that live here now, there's still a couple of people in town who remembered George, and they remembered being part of his squad, basically.
Okay.
But he had everything. He had everything that you would expect from a good, clean living local identity.
Correct. That's the thing. I mean, he was clean living. He lived on Manor. So he was, I guess, the gentleman of the town, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's a lot of, like, the Manors is actually, it refers to the street that he lived on.
Ah, okay.
Because the Tenerfield Saddler building is in High Street, so he worked on High. And George's home is in the next street along, which is called Manners Street.
Ah.
So he lived on Manners.
On Manners. So there you go, listeners. Yes. We're learning a little bit more in depth about the song. You know more about the song than I do. But the true. Other thing is, too, that like there's another verse in there that speaks about the son, his son of George that went off and got married, and he had a war baby and something went wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So do you know much about that part of it?
Yes, well, his son Richard was Peter's father.
Yes,
he came back from the war, and he as a returned soldier, you know, he still suffered from a lot of the atrocities of war.
Yes,
today we call it post-traumatic stress.
Yes,
in those days it was called shell shock or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, the advice that most people got was to just go and have a couple of scotches or a drink or whatever and have a good lie down.
Yes.
And everything will work out okay. Well, it didn't happen like that for Richard.
No.
And he was a very troubled man, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, he eventually committed suicide when Peter was 13 years of age.
Yeah.
And in the song, it talks about George. He wondered why his son had need of a gun.
Correct,
He used that gun to take his own life.
To take his own life,
Because
it also said there that, if memory serves me, it's easier to drink than go crazy. So I guess coming back from the war and trying to deal with all these things that happened to him, that's the reason why he started to drink and eventually ended up taking his own life. That's the reason
why. yeah, basically the medical advice of that period was, mm-hmm. Have a couple of drinks and calm down.
Calm yourself down.
As you know, some people, they don't calm down.
No. Very sad. And a brilliant song, and that's why whenever I hear it, it always does. It always brings a bit of a lump to my throat. Peter Allen, such a great lyricist. And a great entertainer. Now, tell us all about there's this incredible pair of red shoes, and they don't belong to Dorothy, and it's got nothing to do with going back home. There's these incredible red shoes that sits in the window. Tell us a bit about these shoes.
Well, now, Peter often performed in Australia, and he at one stage back in the late 80s, about 89 or 1990,
right,
he performed at the Twin Town Services Club at the Gold Coast.
Yes.
And as is the habit of performers who perform there, they normally leave something behind that is used later on for a celebrity auction.
Right.
To raise money for charity and whatever.
Okay.
Now, somebody, and we don't know who it was, somebody bought those shoes at the celebrity auction.
Yes.
And donated them to the, brought them back up to Tenterfield and handed them in and donated them
to the
anonymously. To the saddler.
Yes.
And they've got pride of place there on the front of the window.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people who'll come along, like Peter had big feet. He had size 13.
Did. I couldn't believe it when I saw those shoes. I thought, who do these things belong? Big feet.
Yeah, so we've had a number of people have come and they've sat out on the veranda and put the shoes on, taken photos with it. With the maracas and whatever.
And that's it. And you don't know who donated those shoes.
No, we don't. No,
wow.
That's happened quite a few times at the Tenterfield Saddler. There's been things have been just brought in and plonked on the counter, and they say this is a donation and put that on display, please.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll walk out the door and you don't know anything about who they are.
Yes,
but they're happy to do it.
Yep.
And we're happy to show it.
Fantastic. Now, apart from these two main rooms and these fantastic size 13 red shoes at the front window, you've also got a little bit of a side room where you've got some local sort of craft and stuff like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's some of the local quilting people have done a bit of work that we hang up on the wall on display.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very intricate, needlework and whatever. It really does look lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that come to visit that like to take photos of that and take that away as a memory as well.
Yeah. Well, Jim, it is the most wonderful place in Tenterfield, and it always draws me back. Whenever I'm in the area, I always have to call through Tenterfield and have a look at the Saddler. And it brings back so many great memories for me. So for the benefit of my listeners who have never been to Tenterfield or never seen the Saddler, I really stress that they're missing out on something absolutely fantastic, fabulous. There's history there, not only of the Saddler, but the history of Peter Allen's life and career, and people like yourself that volunteer there with such a wealth of knowledge. I mean, you've taught me about the song that I wasn't aware that Manners was where he lived. I thought that was because he was just that sort of a fella. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that a lot of people thought that way until they realised that there is a Manor Street there.
Yes.
But Tenterfield itself, it's got so much history.
Absolutely.
That goes right back to the days of Sir Henry Parkes and the Australian Federation and whatever. So, and whoever comes to visit us at the Saddler, we'll always give them the full story of the celebrities of our town or the people who made our town as famous as what it is.
Brilliant.
And we'll point you in the right direction of interesting places to see when they're here as well.
Okay. Now, you're not open every day though, are you, Jim? The Saddler's not open every day?
We're open every day of the week except Monday.
Okay. Yeah. So every day, Tuesday to Friday, you're not open on the weekends either? I'm just for the listeners.
On the weekends, the weekends are our most important time, Saturdays and Sundays. Because weekend travellers, that's when they get the chance to see it a lot more.
Okay.
So we're normally open from 9 until about 1 or 2.
Okay.
On 6 days a week.
Yes.
And there's no cost to enter the building. It's like a donation for the upkeep.
Yes.
So there's no entry fee. And you'll always meet a smiling face and a good storyteller if you come in.
Absolutely, especially if they happen to be lucky and see you on there, Jim, because you...
I'm just one. There's seven of us, and yep. I think we're all unique in different ways.
Okay.
But
fabulous. Jim, I'm going to have to wind this up now, my friend. Can I play you an Aussie song to wind this segment up? Got something favourite?
There is one of my, like Peter Allen wrote and performed quite a number of songs, but there is one in particular that I always like. It always takes my ear when I hear it.
Okay.
And it's called Don't Cry Out Loud.
Ah, yes.
A very, very good ballad, a very, very good story.
Have you got a little bit of a story to tell us about that? What's that song all about?
My understanding is that Peter's mother was she really enjoyed the circus.
Yes.
And of course, after his father had passed away, she missed a lot of the companionship and whatever. And when the circus came to town, it seemed to give her a new lease of life. And,
yes.
And Peter, I suppose, noticed that,
mm-hmm.
And he put it in that little memory bank because he was only a young child at the time.
Uh-huh.
But when the opportunity came along, he put those thoughts into a song. And "Don't Cry Out Loud" is just a beautiful little ballad. It is like a tribute to his mum.
Absolutely fabulous. All right, Jim. Well, I'm going to throw that on right now for our listeners. Don't Cry Out Loud by Peter Allen. Thank you so much for your time, Jim. You're an absolute wealth of information, a perfect gentleman. You live on manners. no, you don't, but you're a great bloke. And for any of our listeners, I hope they catch you yourself, because you are a great bloke. And the other ones, they're just as knowledgeable as well. So
they are. They're all wonderful people. You're welcome anytime you like. As
fantastic.
I said, you'll always have a smiling face and a good story.
Fantastic. All right, listeners, we'll stick around for Jim's request, Don't Cry Out Loud by Peter Allen. We're going to put that on right now, and we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town, 'cause she didn't want parades just passing by her. So she painted on a smile and took up with some clown, and she danced without a net up on the wire. I know a lot about, 'cause you see, baby is an awful lot like me. We don't cry out loud, we keep it inside. We've learned how to hide our feelings. Should fall. Remember, you almost had it all. Baby saw that when they pulled the big top down, they left behind her dreams among the litter. And the different kind of love she thought it found, it was nothing more than sawdust and some glitter. But baby can't be broken, 'cause you see, she's had the finest teacher we, and I taught her. Should fall. Remember, you almost had it. Don't cry out loud. We gotta keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings. Fly.
should fall. Remember you almost had it all. Girl, I'm crying out loud. Gotta keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings. Fly and proud. And if you should fall,
g'day listeners, Phil C here. This is Raymond Oz, and I'm at Monday, the big Monday bash, and I'm chatting with Kathy Graham from Just Off Centre. G'day, Kathy. How you going today?
G'day, Phil. I'm going really well. How you going?
Awesome. Mate, I'm having a ball.
This is fun, isn't it?
Great place to be. Look, the wind's died.
Yeah.
It's beautiful blue skies.
The sun's out.
You wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you?
No.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, Just Off Centre Pottery. You make pottery.
I make pottery, yes.
Okay. Now, how long have you been doing it?
Well, as a potter, I started well over 20 years ago.
Yes.
The Just Off Centre business part of it started probably about 10 years ago.
Right.
Make pottery, clay.
Yes.
My thing is primitive firings, smoke firings, Sega firings, wood firings. And then about 6 years ago, I got really excited about weaving. So now I've actually started incorporating weaving into my pottery as well. So it's a bit of a oxymoron. You've got pottery down the bottom and you've got weaving on the top. So, a bit of a juxtaposition of materials.
Very, very different. Very different style of pottery, isn't it?
Yes.
And I just mentioned that the wind had died, and now look at it. It's flapping. Your little gazebo is flapping.
You jinxed us, Phil. This is your fault. This is on you.
Oh, my gosh. I've jinxed us, Kathy. So who came up with the idea of combining pottery and basket weaving? Because what we've got essentially here, just for the listeners, obviously they can't see us, but you've got your pot, and then on top of that, you've got some basket weaving.
Yeah.
And you've sort of combined the two arts of basket weaving, cane weaving, and pottery. Was that originally your idea? Or?
Oh, absolutely, Phil. This comes down from, it comes from the fact I can't make decisions.
Okay.
And I can't make choices. So when I like doing basket weaving, I like doing pottery, and I couldn't choose which one I wanted to do. So I decided to do them all at once.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm really bad at making decisions.
Okay. But you've made an incredibly different, very unique
Absolutely.
Product.
Yeah, it is very different. And like I said, it's that juxtaposition of really solid materials against something that's a little bit more fragile, for want of a better word.
Okay.
And it makes it look aesthetically, it looks a lot different, and it just takes away that functionality out of the pots as well, which for me, as an artist, having your pottery referred to as functional, can you make me a coffee cup, really annoys me.
Right.
So it stops people wanting to, put a lasagna in a bowl and chuck it in the oven.
Okay, now you mentioned where we are here, you've got burn your own pot.
Yeah.
Now, how does this work? How do you burn your own pot? What's it all about?
Well, most of the pots that I have here, and probably 90% of the pottery I do, is actually primitive firing. So they're either put into a wood fire on their own, or they're sagged, wrapped in foil and all sorts of different vegetation material that'll give you a different effect.
Mm-hmm.
So burn your own pot here. What I've brought is some plain pots that have been bisqued.
Right.
And then people have got the option of wrapping them up, putting in some, we've got some salt bush there that gives it some different effect, and we've got some leaves and we've got some material. Wrap it all up, then wrap it in foil, and then they take it back to their own campfires.
Right.
They they burn it at night.
Yes.
Wake up in the morning and they've got their own pot that they've essentially decorated themselves, had no control over the outcome, which kind of makes it a bit more fun as well.
Yeah.
And then bring it back here and it looks like one that, I'm charging twice as much for, and they've done it themselves.
They've done it themselves, and it's a unique
pattern, I guess, for want of a better word, because you don't actually know what you're going to get.
That is correct, Phil. That's 100% correct. It's like a fingerprint. There's no... Even if you wanted to try and get the same effect, you couldn't.
You couldn't do it. So you couldn't get the same one twice.
No, absolutely not.
So it's absolutely something you've done.
It's something you've done.
That nobody can copy.
That's exactly right.
Great idea. Was this your idea?
No.
No?
Unfortunately not, it was my partner's idea. Yeah, I'd like to claim credit for it, but
Oh no.
I'm not that clever.
You came up with the idea.
Ideas, man.
Honesty is the best policy. Now, where can people get hold of your pots? If they wanted to buy something, where's the best place for them to go?
Okay, so there's two choices. Physically, I have my works at the Broken Hill Regional Art Gallery.
Okay.
If you're not from Broken Hill or don't plan on coming out this way soon, I have a website called Just Off Centre.
Okay.
Also on Instagram and Facebook under Just Off Centre as well. So you can order online, you can check all my works out there.
Okay.
Or you can come into the Broken Hill Art Gallery and have a look.
Okay. Now, that sounds great. So you're a local
Broken Hill girl.
Okay. Now, we're at the Monday Bash.
We are.
This your first time at the Bash, or you've been to many? Because we've got the Birdsville Bash, we've got the Monday Bash, we've got so many festivals and places.
I snuck out for a day at the April Monday Bash, just to suss it out and see what it was all about.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I've got to be a part of this. So as a vendor, as an art vendor, this is my very first Monday Bash, my second bash, and the Big Red Bash is on my bucket list.
You've got to do the Big Red Bash.
I've got to do the Big Red Bash. And it's really surprising the amount of people walking around with Big Red Bash jumpers, caps, merchandise on. So obviously there's a bit of a cult thing happening with it.
Look, it's a bit of an addiction, you know. Like, I went to the first bash in 2017, and I thought, this is an incredible event.
Okay.
It's a little bit difficult to get to, in the sense that you do sort of need a better vehicle. By that I mean four-wheel drive is the preferred vehicle for Big Red.
Mm-hmm.
But Monday, it's only 40 minutes out of Broken Hill.
Exactly. It's just
it's a really
quick trip in, yeah.
It's so easy to access. So for people that don't want to go all that way, and it's very similar, the event's very similar. It's just Birdsville, you got the big red rock. The Big Red Sandian behind it, which is fabulous. Now also, I wanted to ask you, you also make your own candles.
I do.
How long have you been doing the candles?
Well, the candles are a relatively new addition, and it came about because the same partner that came up with the awesome idea of burn your own pots actually gave me a candle making kit for Christmas one year. So I started making them, and in my pots. Now, the best thing about this is if you're local, I can refill them. Or if you're not local and you don't want to send them up to be refilled, you can use them for anything. You can put a pot in, you can put a plant in them, you can refill them yourself, get some own wax yourself. You can basically use them for anything, but just don't throw them out, for goodness sake, because you've got this little piece of art sitting there waiting to do something with.
So if you're a local, that's Broken Hill.
That's Broken Hill.
You will obviously refill the candle for a cost, obviously.
For a minimal cost.
If you're not, fill it up yourself. Hot puree, put a plant in it, but as you said, don't throw it out.
Especially
if you've burned it yourself in the fire, because that's such a unique thing that you've created.
100%.
A memory of your experience at Monday.
Mm.
Great stuff.
Like no other.
So if you want to get hold of any of this pottery, guys, you've got to go to justoffcentre.com.au. And
you're also
on Instagram.
Instagram, Just Off Centre.
And Facebook.
And Facebook, Just Off Centre.
All right. And there's Kathy Graham. Now, Kathy, I've got to wind this up now, and I'm going to put you right on the spot here.
Okay.
Birdsville, Monday, the Big Red Bashes. You're going to go to Birdsville next year. I'm going to play an Aussie song for you. It has to be Aussie. Who's your favourite Aussie band?
That's a horrible question. I've got so many.
Okay,
I love them all.
The first one that jumps into your head, Aussie band, but then I'm going to ask you for an Aussie song by that band.
The first one that jumps to my head is Paul Kelly.
Okay, and favourite Paul Kelly song?
Favourite Paul Kelly song would have to be How to Make Gravy.
All right, well, there you go, listeners. Thank you so much, Kathy Graham. Just Off Centre Pottery, justoffcentre.com.au. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Kathy.
Thank you, Phil. Wonderful chatting with you.
It's been my pleasure. Stick around, listeners, for more of Roman Oz straight after Paul Kelly's How to Make Gravy.
Yay!
Thanks, Kath.
Thanks, Phil.
Hello, Dan. It's Joe here. I hope you're keeping well. It's the 21st of December. Now they're ringing the last bell. If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July. Won't you kiss my kids on Christmas Day? Please don't let them cry for me. I guess the brothers are driving down from Queensland, and Stella's flying in from the coast. They say it's gonna be 100 degrees, even more maybe. But that won't stop the roast. Who's gonna make the gravy now? I bet it won't taste the same. Just that flour, salt, a little red wine. Don't forget a dollop of tomato sauce for sweetness and that extra tang. And give my love to Angus and to Frank and Dolly. Tell them all I'm sorry. I screwed up this time. And look after Rita. I'll be thinking of her early Christmas morning when I'm standing. Here, Mary's got a new boyfriend. I hope he can hold his own. Do you remember the last one? What was his name again? Just a little too much cologne. And Roger, you know I'm even gonna miss Roger. 'Cause there's sure as hell no one in here I wanna fight. I'll pray the baby. Merry Christmas, I'm really gonna miss it. All the treasure and the trash. Later in the evening, I can just imagine you put on Junior Mervin and push the tables back, and you dance with Rita. I know you really like her.
Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Phil C here, listeners, and this is Roman Oz, and we've got Jeff Diath on the phone today again, and he's going to be talking to us all about towing with your water tanks full. Now, this was a request, or an email, I should say, from a chap named Rod. How are you going today, Jeff?
Oh, great, Phil. We've had a bit of rain this week, but as they say, a rainy day at the beach is better than a sunny day in the office.
Absolutely fabulous. And I guess it sort of, all this rain, it kind of segues into what we're going to be talking about, water tanks and full, because I do see people capturing water from their awnings and so on. I've never done it myself, but this particular chap, Rod, from Victoria, wants to know about his water tanks and can he travel with them full?
And it's a question that I get asked quite frequently. And I suppose the answer is a little bit controversial sometimes. You know, you see it asked on a lot of forums and, you know, the theory is that a caravan should be able to be towed empty of water or right. full of water.
Okay.
Our general recommendation, and I say it as a general recommendation because I think each individual can be a little bit different.
Right.
But the reason I suggest that you actually tow with water tanks full, you know, 90% of the time, are several. So the first one is that if you actually think about the design of your caravan, and we'll assume in this stage that your water tanks are in front of the axles, so between the axles and the tow ball.
Right.
And most caravans are designed that way. If you've got an older caravan that's got a water tank at the back, then maybe, you know, you might run with that one empty, but it really depends on how the caravan's balanced. So if you think about, you know, you were towing a big box down the road, because basically that's what a caravan is,
right.
with wheels generally in the middle. So it's a little bit of a seesaw.
Okay.
If you get a little bit of wind or, you know, a lot of wind in some cases, and the box starts to sway, where do you want the weight? You want the weight down low
right.
to give you stability.
Yes.
And water tanks are placed in the middle, usually just over or in front of the axles of the caravan.
Right.
So it's actually giving you stability weight, you know, and stability down low.
Okay.
You know, and if you look at any picture of a caravan, we've got air conditioners, we've got solar panels on the top.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a little bit of weight at the top.
Right.
And if you think, you know, motorsport and things like that, what do they do in motorsport? They try and get the center of gravity down as low as possible.
Yes.
With four-wheel drives and caravans, we sort of tend to do the opposite. We yeah. keep adding weight up high.
Up high, yep.
So, yeah, so if you're on a windy day or if you're on a, you know, windy road, the more weight you have at the top, the more likely your caravan is to, you know, is to sway a little bit or to rock backwards and forward.
Okay.
Most of the phone calls I get from people who go, oh, look, I've just picked up this caravan and I towed it home and it just, it's uncontrollable.
Right.
And I'll say, well, is the caravan empty? And they go, yes. So did you fill the water tanks? No.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no weight
there's
in the
no
box.
There's no real weight.
Haven't loaded anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Look, some dealerships will fill the water tanks for you before you leave,
mm-hmm.
but I found that a lot don't.
Okay.
So my general recommendation is if you're picking up a new caravan especially, ask about are the water tanks full
okay.
and get them to fill them up before you tow it home.
Okay.
And I think you'll find that a major difference.
Okay.
And the major difference is that it's putting weight on the tow ball, which okay. will give you stability.
Okay.
So I suppose it depends on the caravan design,
mm-hmm.
but 90% of the time I would say that Rod should be driving with his caravan water tanks full.
Okay. Because a lot of people I talk to say, oh, look, I don't need the water until I get wherever I'm going. So they only have a little bit of water in their tanks because they're feeling as water equals weight equals fuel consumption. So a lot of people I speak to travel light until they really need to fill up because it's, you know, you're potentially adding 200 more kilos to your caravan, aren't you, roughly? So what about with half the water in? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I would imagine it's bad because that water's now sloshing around. Is that not going to affect the stability of the van?
I it could. And a lot of caravans now, some of the tanks can be baffled. And there has been recommendations in the past, don't, you know, either full or empty, not half.
Okay.
I think the reality is, though, you know, if you've been somewhere, you might have used half the water as well anyway.
Of course.
So you're driving to the next town.
Yeah.
So I think just understand that as you're using that water,
yep.
it's changing your tow ball weight and it's changing the dynamics of your caravan.
Okay.
One of the things you did mention was that, you know, the whole save fuel argument.
Yes.
And I mean, I get in trouble from my wife every now and then, the good Jules, when she says, you know, I say to people, I said, you know, if you're worried about fuel economy, then stay at home.
Right.
But the reality is that if you're, you know, towing, you know, say you've got your Land Cruiser and you're up there about 6 ton, I'm sure, Phil, in your combination when you get your new van.
Yes, I will be, for sure.
So is 200 kilograms of 6 ton actually going to make a lot of difference?
Well, not to me, but, I mean, there's a lot of frugal travellers out there.
Well, if you look at it at a percentage rate, and I've sort of done a bit of an analysis on this.
Yep.
So, for example, say your cruiser's, you know, what's it do, 15 litres per 100 kilometres when you're not towing?
Yep, roughly.
And when you hook a caravan on and now it's doing 20 litres per 100 kilometres.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're doing 15 empty, and that added weight of the caravan, it's just increased it by a third.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's 5 extra litres per 100 kilometres. And these are just, you know, random figures off the top of my head, not actuals.
Yes, of course.
So if you reduce the weight of the caravan by 200 k's, it's only that small percentage of the weight of the caravan that's improving, not the overall. So I've worked out that, you know, before fuel prices went up, it was probably 80 cents to a dollar per 100 kilometres that you may save by emptying your water tanks. Now, it might be about $1.20 now with fuel prices going through the roof.
Yep.
But so is that $1.20 every 100 k's worth the potential for your caravan to sway and have an accident? So my general recommendation, and I say general because everybody is a little bit different, is that I would say not.
Okay.
You know, so I think you should travel with water tanks full.
Okay.
That's why when I weigh, I always ask the clients to fill their water tanks.
Yep.
And we basically have a worst case scenario.
Okay. Well, there you go, Rod. That answers your questions. You should tow. I say should. Repeat the word should tow with your water tanks full and not worry about whether or not it's going to cost you an extra dollar. What was it? The ballpark figure, 80 cents a dollar per 100 for that little bit of extra weight.
And obviously everybody's a little bit different depending on, you know, the size of their vehicle and the size of their caravan. I think it's hard to compare too because I've had people say to me, but I went up with my water tanks full and when I came back down, I had them empty and I saved a heap of fuel. And I say, well, were you going uphill? Was it windy? What's the difference in the circumstances? It's very hard to do a comparison with full and empty on exactly the same road at the same speed.
I always travel with mine full. I do recall once travelling and, like you said, I'd used half my tank or half my tanks of water. And I noticed a big difference in the stability of the van. And I always travel around about the same speed, so it's not like I was going any faster or any slower, but definitely I could feel that it wasn't as solid and true on the road with half the tanks full as compared to having both the tanks full. So my opinion is for Rod is to have them full, and I'm saying yours is probably the same.
Yeah. I'll just add to some of the hybrid caravans have the water tank at the back.
Yep.
And that's because the hybrids are very heavy at the front.
Okay.
So that water at the back actually lifts a bit of weight off the tow ball.
Right.
So if you decide to not have the water tank full and save that fuel, then you're increasing your tow ball weight and the effect on the vehicle.
Okay.
So you look at the design of your caravan or your hybrid or your camper trailer and load it accordingly.
Yeah. Okay, fabulous. Well, there you go. That answers Mr. Rod's email from Victoria. Thank you so much for your time again today, Jeff. Now, we've got to play you a song to end the segment. But before we do that, I'm just thinking, because we've been talking all about weights and, you know, the difference in having water in your tank and not, you just did mention tow ball and how it can affect with some of the hybrid caravans. Could we talk about tow ball weights next week?
Look, I could talk for an hour on turbo waves, but we'll keep it a bit shorter. But yeah, I think that's a great subject to talk about, Phil.
Okay, fabulous.
Yeah, definitely we'll do that next week.
Fabulous. There you go, listeners. So we're going to be doing toe weights next week. Before we hang up the phones with Rod, not with Rod, with Jeff, what can I play for you? What song can I play for you, Jeff?
Well, I think this is one that a lot of caravanners and campers can relate to. Under the Milky Way by The Church.
Fabulous song, and I know how fabulous it feels when you're sitting beside a campfire out in the middle of nowhere, no street lights around, and just staring up at the Milky Way. Great song selection, Jeff, as always, and it's a pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to next week's discussion on toe ball weights. Thanks for your time, Jeff.
Right. Have a great week, Phil, and travel safe.
I will. There you go, listeners. Mr. Jeff Diaf from Check Weight. And we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after The Church Under the Milky Way.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, sound of their breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down in Memphis. Lower the curtain down, all right. I got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking for. Might have known what peculiar.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.